beautiful," whispered Brother. "Yes, that is one of the uses of plants," said Didactylos, "and one which old Orangecrates neglected to notice too. Well done. Show him Philo's bestiary, Arn." Another scroll unrolled. There were dozens of pictures of animals, thousands of unreadable words.
"But pictures of animals? It's wrong. Well, isn't it wrong to..."
"Pictures of just about everything in here," said Didactylos. Art was not permitted in Omnia.
"And this is the book Didactylos wrote," said Urn.
Brother looked down at a picture of a turtle. There were elephants. They're elephants. His memory supplied from the fresh memories of the bestiary sinking indelibly into his mind. Elephants on its back, and on them something with mountains and a waterfall of an ocean around its edge.
"How can this be?" said Brother.
"A world on the back of a tortoise? Why does everyone tell me this? This can't be true."
"Tell that to the mariners," said Didactylos. "Everyone who's ever sailed the rim ocean knows it. Why deny the obvious?"
"But surely the world is a perfect sphere, spinning about the sphere of the sun, just as the Septuagint tells us," said Brother. "That seems so logical. That's how things ought to be."
"Ought?" said Didactylos. "Well, I don't know about ought. That's not a philosophical word."
"And what is this?" Brother murmured, pointing to a circle under the drawing of the turtle.
"That's a plan view," said Urn.
"Map of the world," said Didactylos.
"Map? What's a map?"
"It's a sort of picture that shows you where you are," said Didactylos.
Brother stared in wonderment.
"And how does it know?"
"Ha ha!"
"Gods," prompted Om again. "We are here to ask about gods."
"But is all this true?" said Brother.
Didactylos shrugged. "Could be, could be. We are here, and it is now. The way I see it is, after that everything tends towards guesswork."
"You mean you don't know it's true?" said Brother.
"I think it might be," said Didactylos. "I could be wrong. Not being certain is what being a philosopher is all about."
"Talk about gods," said Om.
"Gods," said Brother weakly. His mind was on fire. These people made all these books about things, and they weren't sure. But he'd been sure, and Brother Numrod had been sure, and Deacon Vorbis had a sureness you could bend horseshoes around. Sureness was a rock. Now he knew why, when Vorbis spoke about Ephib, his face was grey with hatred and his voice was tense as a wire. If there was no truth, what was there left? And these bumbling old men spent their time kicking away the pillars of the world, and they'd nothing to replace them with but uncertainty. And they were proud of this? Urn was standing on a small ladder, fishing among the shelves of scrolls. Didactylos sat opposite Brother, his blind gaze still apparently fixed on him.
"You don't like it, do you?" said the philosopher.
Brother had said nothing.
"You know," said Didactylos conversationally, "people will tell you that us blind people are the real business where the other senses are concerned. But it's not true, of course. The buggers just say it because it makes them feel better. It gets rid of the obligation to feel sorry for us. But when you can't see, you do learn to listen more. The way people breathe. The sounds their clothes make."
Urn reappeared with another scroll.
"You shouldn't do this," said Brother wretchedly, "all this."
His voice trailed off.
"I know about sureness," said Didactylos. Now the light irascible tone had drained out of his voice. "I remember, before I was blind, I went to Omnia once. This was before the borders were closed, when you still let people travel. And in your citadel, I saw a crowd stoning a man to death in a pit. Ever seen that?"
"It has to be done," Brother mumbled. "So the soul can be shriven, and..."
"I don't know about the soul. Never been that kind of a philosopher," said Didactylos. "All I know is it was a horrible sight. The state of the body is not..." "Oh, I'm not talking about the poor bugger in the pit," said the philosopher. "I'm talking about the people throwing the stones."